flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, guys, here we go. Good afternoon, St. Louis. Welcome to the Home Improvement Show. Like he said, I am your host, Rich Orris, and you know, here we've got your kind of one-stop shop for all things home remodeling and maintenance. And today we can get through anything that you need, any burning question that's keeping your home in tip-top shape. We're here to help you out, whether you're planning a major renovation, you need some tips on routine maintenance, you're facing maybe some unexpected repairs. I know that that can happen. It happens to our cars. It can happen to our homes as well. I'm sure most people know and have lived through that. So we've got the advice you need today to get the job done right, figured out for you. Like he said, give me a call, 314-436-7900. Let's tackle your home improvement challenges together today. No questions too big or small. And don't be shy. And remember, a well-maintained home is not only a happy, but a healthy home. So you want to make sure you're maintaining it well, keeping up with your updates, your remodeling, everything going on. We've got an hour for you today because, you know, go cards, they're probably starting right about now, I think, or real close. So we've only got the 1 hour, 12 to 1. So get in. Good luck, cards. But for everybody looking for your home improvement fix, we're here for you. Again, 314-436-7900 is where you're going to find me. And speaking about cars, so my daughter went on a vacation, and we have an issue with her car. So I started kind of messing around with that a little bit this morning before coming in. And boy, you know, the maintenance on a car is similar to a house. What you need to think about checking, doing. Homes and cars can be really similar in ways of you need to keep up with some routine maintenance, having your oil changes and your tires rotated, and at your home, having your AC checked out, your furnace checked out, your water heater checked out, kind of maintaining these things really help the life expectancy of your vehicle, of your home, kind of all in the same. Cleaning your home more often is going to make it easier to keep clean throughout the years. So there's so many similarities in that. It just kind of reminded me as I was going through and I'm finding a little leak here and a low tire there, and and the window's not working, so I'm taking some stuff apart to try and figure that out. And I'm thinking, man, we really need to do the same thing with our houses really, really well to keep that up and to keep that going for everybody. So hopefully we can help Linda out here. Linda, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah. I painted my house in 2008.
Okay.
And I was going to repaint it again this year. And I have a person that's going to paint for me. And I told him to get flat paint. But then he came back and told me that from the sample he took off of my house, because he was trying to match the color, he said to me that it is semi-gloss. And I was kind of shocked about that because I have a redwood house.
Uh-huh.
And it's redwood. And I thought I used flat-based paint when I first did it in 2008. And it still looks really good. I just cut in and then rolled it all, you know, around the whole house.
Uh-huh.
I rolled it out after I cut in. And he's telling me that it's actually a semi-gloss paint. So I'm not sure. He said that that's more, it lasts longer and it would be better to use a semi-gloss than a flat. But since it's exterior paint, I guess that would be true, but I'm not so sure about if I want semi-gloss or flat.
Yeah, yeah. So he's definitely, so it's hard to answer what it was unless you know, obviously. So if you had a can or what I always say is, keep some of that information, file that away somewhere, or keep a can with the formula and the type of paint on the can, so that not even if the paint goes bad, you just keep it so that you know what it is 4 years later.
That's an excellent idea.
Yeah, yeah. So keeping good records is a positive thing, but kind of where you're at now, yeah, the sheen will kind of wear off over time, wash off with weather, and kind of start to go away. It'll be a lot less sheen years and years later as that fades with the sun and everything else. So it could have been a semi-gloss or maybe even an eggshell where it's kind of halfway between the flat and the semi-gloss. But I do agree that if you're going to do flat outside, I would get the best quality paint for sure. Because it's something washable, something that's really going to work really well. Maybe they make it with like Teflon in it, so it'll be sturdier and wash better. Because really the semi-gloss on the exterior of the home is going to clean up and wash better when you go to just hose it off, clean it off, wipe it off over the next 10, hopefully 15 years of just keeping up on it and not needing to repaint. So I do agree with him with the semi-gloss being a little better for that exterior paint and lasting longer and cleaning up better over the years as you're trying to keep it.
Oh, that's awesome. And another point that he brought up, which I didn't think of because he was taken at first, I was just going to spot paint. But I thought it's been so long since 2008, I might as well just paint the whole thing. So what he's matching the original color, and instead of taking a piece off of the house, it's all faded.
Uh-huh.
So he said that it's actually a color called Bagel by Sherwin Williams, and he was able to match it. But he says it actually turns out to be a little bit darker because it's not the sample he took off the house, which I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I do have another question about rehabbing a house.
Okay. What's that?
If you need new windows, new siding, and other things done to the house, say it's like a pretty much going to be rehab, is it okay to do the siding first and then the windows, or is it always better to do the windows first and then the siding?
So it really the best way to do it, it's kind of a loaded question. There's a couple ways to answer it. Could take a little while. The best way to really do it, if you're stripping the whole house and re-siding the whole house and changing all of the windows, is simultaneously in the same project, replace the windows and do the siding. Because there are, what I could tell you briefly enough is how you install the windows. There's three different ways to install windows in a home, and only one of the ways really gets a really good flashed, dried in, airtight system from the outside of the home. And that's using a new construction style window with the siding off of the house when you do it. Then you can wrap it, you can flash it, you can flash tape it to the wall. We can install that window in a way that it will never leak without even putting the siding on the house. Just having the house wrap, the flashing tapes, the system put together that will shed water off around the window and down the wall. We could put the window in, flash the house, wrap the house properly, and not even put the siding on for months, and you'll never have a leak inside. When we install windows first, we take off siding, do that system as often as the clients will let us, and I could also say afford to, but we'll take off the siding, put the window in, do all that work, and then put siding back. So if you're planning on siding, you could do that first, but the investment will be higher because you're taking off siding, putting siding back, and then you're taking off siding to put siding back when you re-side the house. So if you do it all simultaneously, you'll get the best product, the best warranty, and have it all done, and it'll be a little bit lower investment overall with two jobs combined because you're not doing any rework.
Oh my God. And you've answered my question. Because I was going back and forth on that, and mm-hmm. what to do first.
So that makes sense. I really appreciate that. Do you have a different house, or is this the redwood? I mean, because you're not going to re-side the house you're about to paint.
No, I got two houses.
Okay, that's what I was definitely guessing. And I would say, looking at that, the other house with the siding and the windows, it would be worth having a conversation with one of us at Mosby Building Arts to look at the house, explain that window system and siding system in detail, just so that you can make a good educated decision on what you do and where you go from there. So I would definitely invite you to call in to Mosby and we can come out, no charge, look at the home, talk in more detail than we can probably get out here on the radio. I will probably speak more about this after the break, just to kind of get some more detail on the radio, but we can get you a lot of detail on site and we can really educate you.
It's always good to get information from people and have them come out and take a look at things because it makes a big difference.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It might be really eye opening for you. Even the difference between what we talk about and what other siding and window companies talk about. It could be a very different conversation and very eye-opening. So I definitely invite you to do that. I got to get into my first break here. So Linda, great couple of questions. Appreciate the call there. And we're going to jump into our first break. We've got more to come, more to talk about. Maybe I'll get into more detail on those windows and siding and everything. And you can find me again, 314-436-7900. Don't change that dial.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on 97.1 FM Talk. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, guys, we are back, and we've got three more segments, plenty of time for you to get your calls, your questions, your concerns, your comments in right here today. Plenty of time. 314-436-7900 is how you are going to find me today. And yeah, a couple of really good questions from Linda there about the painting for sure, and then getting into that siding and window question. That's a very common question that I go over and explain often, almost weekly, to different people as I run around for Mosby and look at their houses and talk about additions and windows and siding and roofs and kitchens and bathrooms. There's nothing residential that we don't do and we don't have the people and the capacity to take care of. So if it's residential, we can do it. I've got a couple different garage jobs that I'm building this year with Mosby and all sorts of things like, so we do pretty much everything residential, but that the quality and the flashing and the way that we do things and the way we explain things with like window installation, when you look at installing windows and three different ways to do it, and it's not that we don't do the other ways. We do them a little less often. And sometimes it depends on the house, the type of house. Sometimes an older home, the one way is the normal and best way to do it because it's a brick home on the outside. It's a 100-year-old home. It's got all the old ornate wood, everything on the inside. So we do what you call a pocket fit where you just take out the sashes. You fit a new window into there. You can kind of repaint or redress up the trim on the inside, but all that stays. Insulate, put some trims around the outside. A lot of times you cover it with that siding metal that goes over everything. You see that around replacement windows a lot. But when you do that in a newer, more conventional home, and you use that type of pocket fit, and you do not take the siding off of the house, then you have really not, you don't have a good way to get in there and flash anything. And you're pretty much reliant on caulk. They'll put some of that metal, they'll caulk it, and water, air, it all gets around. It gets behind vinyl siding. It can, once caulk wears, it gets behind the cement sidings, the wood sidings, all of that. So the one method I would say is when we have a lot of conversations, because these jobs are not inexpensive, especially if you're doing every window or if you're residing the entire home, it can be a big endeavor for someone to do all at once. So when I look at that and they say, well, I want to do it all and I want to do it right, then I kind of explain ways that we can say, okay, we do the windows first. We minimize how much siding we take off. We do as little as possible to do that and flash it. And sometimes if it's fiber, cement, or wood, we'll just kind of cut an area bigger, get that new construction window in, flash tape it really well, and put some trims around it for time being. And then when you go to side the house, you take all that off, the trims, the siding, everything. You do your wrapping, more flash tape. You can dry that window in with the new house wrap. And then you can put whatever siding on you want. And there is some overlap because we put some trim around it or did some work around it. So it's a little more expensive when you do the windows and then you get to the siding. But those jobs, they can be big endeavors. And I get that it's definitely hard to come up with the funds to do every window of a house, side the whole house, put the roof on. You got gutters and soffit and fascia and all. There's so many things, so many steps, it gets a little hard to accomplish at once. So another thing to think about is, what is that overlap cost? So if you're looking at windows first and there's going to be some overlapping work, siding later, say you're going to wait for siding for 2 years to save more money. Well, siding is going to get more expensive in 2 years. It's always going to happen. You're going to have some of that rework. So how much money would you not spend on the window install if you did it all at once? So you find that what that savings is, do it all at once. And then you consider financing. You go, well, if I'm going to save, you know, make math easy, $10,000, and I finance this, what are my finance charges? And can I early pay it off? So maybe I finance it, get it all, and I pay that off 2 or 3 years from now, and I'm just making a lower monthly payment until I make that payoff. And maybe you can come out the same and get it all done at once at the same time and have a better, and you get to enjoy it more. Or maybe you even save some because you've only spent so much in interest. So if you could do that and only spend $7,000 in interest and it's saving you $10,000, well, you got it all sooner. It looks better. It works better. And you've actually saved $3,000 over the lifespan of that loan or whatever, if the finance charge is less. So there's a lot of ways to figure this stuff out and a lot of things to consider when doing that. So think about all of those processes. And the main thing I would say, too, is when you're going over work with people, are the companies, are the people that come out, are they talking about this stuff? Do they explain it well? I've literally heard people out and about saying, oh, water doesn't get behind vinyl siding. And I'm like, okay, that is absolutely wrong. It absolutely does. It's kind of made to, and that's why they want you to have that drainage plane, a system behind it that's going to work and move all that water. So there's a lot that happens. And with that also is air infiltration. So if you can do the flashing in the watershed plane and you can make that house leak proof, you've also made it leak proof from air. So now it's more energy efficient. It's tighter. You've got to now think about the air on the inside of the house. How often are you opening doors and windows, and maybe get some testing done to see if the recovery air, if it's working, if when the furnace runs, is it pulling air? You run the exhaust fan from the kitchen or the bathroom, is it pulling air that it shouldn't, because your house is now so tight, leak proof and air proof. So there's a lot that goes into all of this, and it's a lot to think about. So asking open-ended questions and listening to people talk about what they have done and what they've seen and how they do things, and just asking, well, how do you take care of this? Does this ever happen? Do you ever worry about that? What's your warranty? And just let them explain all that. You'll learn so much, and you'll just come to an understanding of just learning and understanding from what they know. You'll just be a better, more educated consumer, and you'll be able to tell if someone doesn't know. So, hey, we're going to get into our second break here. But again, you can find me. Feel free to give me a call, 314-436-7900. We got two more segments, plenty of time, another half hour for everybody. So get your calls in. Don't delay. Don't change the dial. We'll be right back here in just a minute. All right, guys. Hey, we are back. And boy, did you guys hear that commercial about the Odyssey app? That is so cool, because I know a lot of people are running around and it's hard to be on the phone. Some people, I know they're just kind of shy. I've tried to talk to some people and be like, just call in, and it's just like a conversation. So again, you can reach me right here today. You can call in, get your question on, 314-436-7900. But they were explaining that Odyssey app. If you go to the app and you go to the KMOX 1120 and hit the microphone, you can kind of speak your question and it will pop up here for us and we can see it, which I kind of get that happening a little bit time to time when people have questions and they're not going to be around. And so they'll contact or they'll ask their question at Mosby with one of our client services reps or something. So this is kind of the same kind of cool thing that, yeah, you could just hit that, send your question in. It'll be like a recording. We'll listen to it. We'll see what it is and see if we can get to it. So the question I got in this past week, we had spoken last week a lot about concrete, but quite a little bit about crawl spaces too. Again, that's kind of like the whole, it has a scenario. It's like the siding windows issue that we've been going through in St. Louis here for years, 20, 30, 40 years. And the crawl space is kind of the same thing of how it has changed the complexity of how we build it. How do we basically keep it healthy? Like I was talking about earlier, keeping up with the home, keeping up with the maintenance, it just makes a healthy home for you. And the crawl space is definitely one of those spaces you can get. It might have dirt in it. You can get moisture. You can get mold, and they smell musty all the time. And they've been, a lot of people have been building them the same way for years and years. So I got this question, and she talks about her home being half crawl space, half basement. And she said she doubts that, like, the paper or whatever they have on the floor has ever been replaced. So I talk all the time about encapsulating that area. So she was asking, you know, should I encapsulate this? She says it seems dry, seems to stay dry, but it has dirt underneath it. She's had radon issues. This is one of the things she brought up, was she had some radon issues in the basement, and she added some vents in the crawl space to help mitigate the radon coming out of the ground. So, and it's not insulated, and kind of asking in the question, what kind of insulation do you use or encapsulation of that system? And what should you do for the radon? Because the big thought is, and she's on the right track with this question about, if I did encapsulate this, is it going to increase my radon levels again? And is there a better solution? Well, so going through all these questions, one, the radon with just the vents moving the air and everything, a newer crawl space system will not have vents in it, not vents to the outside. So first things first, I would put in a radon system to get the system. And when you have a half crawl space, half basement, they are more than likely going to suggest two radon systems, because they're at two different levels. One's higher, one's lower. So you can put one in the basement floor and draw that radon gas out through the roof with that system. But the higher up one on the other half of the house, they're going to want a system over there that does the same thing. So more than likely, you're in for two radon systems to control that when you encapsulate this crawl space, because you're going to block off those vents and you're going to make it like a little mini basement. So the only airflow I'm going to recommend that you have into that crawl space is going to be two things. Basically, your ductwork will leak. No reason to really seal it inside the crawl space once you insulate and encapsulate it. So let it leak, and that'll get you some fresh air under there. 10 to 20% of all the air through your ductwork actually leaks into your basement or your crawl space. So when you're in an attic, you want to consider sealing that, because it's everything you're leaking is going out through your roof. But in that crawl space, it'll bring you kind of some fresh air. So that's a good thing. And then when you open up and create a vent, the access from your existing basement into that crawl space is the only vent you want, where you're only exchanging air from the basement to the crawl space and inside that envelope of the house. You don't want anything from the outside. So when you get in that crawl space and you've done that and you've got that air ventilating that way, you put in a rubber or some kind of hard liner that covers the entire floor, and it goes up the foundation walls pretty much all the way to the top. And once that's there, and that needs to be sealed as best as it can to not have anything leaking or air coming through between the ground and that system and getting into the crawl space. So then around the four sides of the crawl space, or three or four sides, you spray a foam insulation, spray foam insulation around that whole band board, around the outside, just like your basement is. Most of them probably only have fiberglass bats, but when you do the spray foam, you're blocking 100% of air infiltration, and you can actually put that down onto that liner. Spray onto the liner, it will seal that liner, and that way nothing's leaking out of that liner into there. So now that's what's called encapsulated. I always describe it as the reverse of a swimming pool. You want it to keep water underneath it and keep the air, everything underneath it, and nothing come up. And to explain how well this can actually work, I had a client that had this same situation with the crawl space, half basement, and we put a liner like that in their crawl space. And I want to say I was a project manager when we did it. So It was a good 20 years ago. And they started getting some water leaking into the actual basement. And so when I came over to kind of investigate it, I went to crawl into that crawl space to see if there was anything going on in the crawl space through the access. And when I stepped on that liner, it was floating on about a foot of water. So it filled up with water. The sump pump failed and it filled up with water, but you couldn't even see the water because the liner was sealed and the liner was floating. So it just looked like a liner laying on the ground till you stepped on it. And then it sank. And I was, whoa, my gosh. And so that's where their water started coming from. So we had to take that liner out, put in a better sump pump system 20 years later, and reinstall a liner. But that's how well you can actually seal those liners to stop all that. So it's a good, great thing. Now, if you're having that radon, it's going to find its way around, and you're going to want that radon system, and then you can seal that liner around that radon pipe, and then it can take that radon out through the roof and where it's not going to harm anybody. So there's a lot to do to really work and protect something like that, but it will keep you more comfortable. It will keep you warmer in the winter. You won't have a cold floor, and it's just so much healthier without the moisture, the mold, the things that can happen. So when we build a room addition on a crawl space, I'm doing this whole system to that room addition with a sump pump, with everything, not even knowing if there's going to be water. But think of the one, oh my gosh, there was at least 8 inches of water underneath this liner. So we're doing this at a lesser investment, makes the room cost a little bit more, but it's easier to do when you build the room, and it's quicker to do when you build the room. So your investment is a little bit less to do it originally. Then if you start having these problems year 2, 4, 5, 8, you have a system that's going to work. You've got the sump pump, the power, everything running. It's perfect. It's the best way to do it and the healthiest thing for your home. So you do that crawl space the old way with the vents. It's not going to be as comfortable. It's not going to work as well. You got the potential for water, mold, all these things happening down the road. And that's when we kind of see them in there and see that happening when it's not done to the best of the ability in these crawl spaces. So a lot to happen with that, a lot of information. Now you can probably maybe understand a little bit why I would tell Linda to have us come out and really explain all the steps that would take and get you really good and educated on it. Because every house is a little bit different too. So we might have a little bit different thing with this house than that house and how we would recommend getting to those great, great, great quality projects for you. So that's something that we do here at Mosby every day on a daily basis, constantly, whether it's remodeling, maintenance, siding, windows, doors, we do it, all of it, all the time. So feel free to have us come out and just at least help get you educated and understand. Then you can make a great educated decision on your project. And we're going to jump into our final break here. So again, you can find me. We'll have time to get you in. If you have any kind of thoughts, questions, concern at the last minute here, we'll have plenty of time. 314-436-7900. Look forward to hearing from you. Don't touch the dial, and we'll be right back. All right, guys, we are back. Got time in the last segment here. Got about 6 minutes to get a call in for you. If you do have a question, feel free to buzz in real quick. We'll get you in, 314-436-7900. So another thing, so we've kind of went over some siding, flashing, common thing, windows, getting that right, crawl spaces can really be devastating if they go wrong and you get the water, and we've been over a lot of that stuff. But the other thing I like, and we had a question last week about a newer product, and something we talk about all the time is the new products on the market. It's constant. There's thousands. It's impossible to keep up with. and you really got to do some research and think and check into what are some of these materials, how are they going to work, how are they going to act, are they really good for kind of what they're talking about, or are they good inside, outside? And so we had a call last week where the question came up about a product called Magic Crack for filling concrete cracks. We talk a lot about how to clean and seal and caulk your expansion joints and control joints and the importance of keeping water and moisture and everything on top of concrete to keep that concrete strong, healthy, keep the freeze thaw out of it, everything is very important in our area. So when you hear all these different things that come about, so this Magic Crack filler, I did a little research because I hadn't really looked into it, haven't used it. And basically reading about it from their website, I was kind of spot on with it is something that's going to kind of get hard. It's going to get very hard in there. So basically most of that product is sand, and it's got a binding agent inside of it. So basically just adhesive type of stuff to when it gets wet and everything, it hardens. All that binding comes together. It makes a very strong, long-lasting product right up until that concrete moves. So there's some questions on their website that they answer, and I do understand and like their answers. But the first one is, how long will the filler last? And they basically say indefinitely. The products with sand and the binding agent, it's going to last indefinitely. If your concrete doesn't move, expand, contract, anything happen with it. So the next question is, will the existing crack re-crack? They start off with yes. And that is true. That is absolutely going to happen. So in most cases, they say a reapplication of the filler will quickly secure it again. So just understand that it's a hard product. And when the concrete does its shifting, it's moving, the things that happen, it's going to crack. Chunks might come out. Things might happen. And you just need to know to redo it again. So, and they do say it can withstand kind of like mortar or whatever. It's basically like loose fill mortaring a crack is what it's doing. So it will withstand power washing and cleaning, they say. But when we commonly speak about filling these cracks or filling the expansion joints and all those areas, we're looking at a caulk that's more of like an elastic polyurethane type sealant that is very stretchy. It's like rubber. It's if it pulls on it, it can stretch a little bit. If it shrinks, it'll just kind of squish it a little bit, but it will still be there. And it will still work really well. And of course, with the caulk, if you don't get it adhered real well, and if the concrete moves too much, just like the Magic Crack stuff, that caulk could let loose at one end. You're going to want to cut that caulk out and completely redo it. And that's why we talk about, especially on expansion joints, where you have a half inch or a 3/4 inch wide joint between the concrete and you put the backer rod down in there, the recommendation when doing that is power wash the concrete really well, get it very clean. There is a primer so you can seal the concrete and fill all the little pores and everything with the sealer. And then there is a primer that you can use, just like when gluing PVC pipes or anything like that, you prime it. It helps clean that surface. So you prime the edges of that concrete with a clear primer, and then you caulk it. And when you caulk it, when you look at the backer rod that they suggest putting in an expansion joint for a concrete area, they make it in all different sizes. So you can, it's just like rope, but it's foam and it's round, and you can go up to whatever size you need, inch and a half, anything. Well, it's round because you want the caulk to go down the sides and adhere a lot on the side of the concrete. That's what's going to make it kind of last and expand and move and stretch with it. So when that kind of U-shaped curve is at the top there, you'll use a little less of the caulk on top and a little more goes down the side. So you're conserving how much caulk you're using that round backer rod, and you're letting a lot of caulk go down the edge around that backer rod so it can adhere a good half inch tall to the side of that edge of that concrete. And that's what's going to make that caulk really last the longest. But again, just like the other stuff, it's a matter of how much does it move? How far does it sink? Do you need to mud jack it back up? Anything like that, it can still kind of happen, and you might have maintenance that you need to do later with either of them. So it's really a matter of doing little areas, seeing if you like it, seeing how it works. I was even thinking of maybe just doing about a 2-foot spot on my driveway on the border just to let it get in there and see how it works and last. And then I can talk about it later on down the road on how was it to put it in and how did it last? Because there's so much and so many products. There's no way for any one person to know all of this stuff. It's quite amazing. But hey, I had a great time here today. Hopefully the Cardinals are having a good time on KMOX. And I appreciate Linda's call in with a couple questions there. Got great conversations going. For everybody else, be good to your homes, and I will talk to you next week. Don't touch the dial, and we'll be right back. All right, guys, we are back. Got time in the last segment here. Got about 6 minutes to get a call in for you. If you do have a question, feel free to buzz in real quick. We'll get you in 314-436-7900. So another thing, so we've kind of went over some siding flashing, common thing, windows, getting that right, crawl spaces can really be devastating if they go wrong and you get the water, and we've been over a lot of that stuff. But the other thing I like, and we had a question last week about a newer product, and something we talk about all the time is the new products on the market. It's constant. There's thousands. It's impossible to keep up with, and you really got to do some research and think and check into what are some of these materials, how are they going to work, how are they going to act. Are they really good for kind of what they're talking about, or are they good inside, outside? And so we had a call last week where the question came up about a product called Magic Crack for filling concrete cracks. We talk a lot about how to clean and seal and caulk your expansion joints and control joints and the importance of keeping water and moisture and everything on top of concrete to keep that concrete strong, healthy, keep the freeze thaw out of it. Everything is very important in our area. So when you hear all these different things that come about, so this Magic Crack filler, I did a little research because I hadn't really looked into it, haven't used it. And basically reading about it from their website, I was kind of spot on with it is something that's going to kind of get hard. It's going to get very hard in there. So basically most of that product is sand, and it's got a binding agent inside of it. So basically just adhesive type of stuff to when it gets wet and everything, it hardens. It all that binding comes together. It makes a very strong, long-lasting product right up until that concrete moves. So there's some questions on their website that they answer, and I do understand and like their answers. But the first one is, how long will the filler last? And they basically say indefinitely. The products with sand and the binding agent, it's going to last indefinitely. If your concrete doesn't move, expand, contract, anything happen with it. So the next question is, will the existing crack re-crack? They start off with yes. And that is true. That is absolutely going to happen. So in most cases, they say a reapplication of the filler will quickly secure it again. So just understand that it's a hard product. And when the concrete does its shifting, it's moving, the things that happen, it's going to crack. Chunks might come out. Things might happen. And you just need to know to redo it again. So, and they do say it can withstand kind of like mortar or whatever. It's basically like loose fill mortaring a crack is what it's doing. So it will withstand power washing and cleaning, they say. But when we commonly speak about filling these cracks or filling the expansion joints and all those areas, we're looking at a caulk that's more of like an elastic polyurethane type sealant that is very stretchy. It's like rubber. It's if it pulls on it, it can stretch a little bit. If it shrinks, it'll just kind of squish it a little bit, but it will still be there and it will still work really well. And of course, with the caulk, if you don't get it adhered real well, and if the concrete moves too much, just like the magic crack stuff, that caulk could let loose at one end. You're going to want to cut that caulk out and completely redo it. And that's why we talk about, especially on expansion joints, where you have a half inch or a 3/4 inch wide joint between the concrete and you put the backer rod down in there, the recommendation when doing that is power wash the concrete really well, get it very clean. There is a primer so you can seal the concrete and fill all the little pores and everything with the sealer. And then there is a primer that you can use, just like when gluing PVC pipes or anything like that. You prime it. It helps clean that surface. So you prime the edges of that concrete with a clear primer, and then you caulk it. And when you caulk it, when you look at the backer rod that they suggest putting in an expansion joint for a concrete area, they make it in all different sizes so you can, it's just like rope, but it's foam and it's round and you can go up to whatever size you need, inch and a half, anything. Well, it's round because you want the caulk to go down the sides and adhere a lot on the side of the concrete. That's what's going to make it kind of last and expand and move and stretch with it. So when that kind of U-shaped curve is at the top there, you'll use a little less of the caulk on top and a little more goes down the side. So you're conserving how much caulk you're using that round backer rod, and you're letting a lot of caulk go down the edge around that backer rod so it can adhere a good half inch tall to the side of that edge of that concrete. And that's what's going to make that caulk really last the longest. But again, just like the other stuff, it's a matter of how much does it move? How far does it sink? Do you need to mud jack it back up? Anything like that, it can still kind of happen. And you might have maintenance that you need to do later with either of them. So it's really a matter of doing little areas, seeing if you like it, seeing how it works. I was even thinking of maybe just doing about a 2-foot spot on my driveway on the border just to let it get in there and see how it works and last. And then I can talk about it later on down the road on how was it to put it in and how did it last? Because there's so much and so many products. There's no way for any one person to know all of this stuff. It's quite amazing. But hey, I had a great time here today. Hopefully the Cardinals are having a good time on KMOX. And I appreciate Linda's call in with a couple questions there. Got great conversations going for everybody else. Be good to your homes, and I will talk to you next week.